Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today, thanks. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about the upcoming holiday, Easter Sunday, the resurrection of the Christ on April Fool's Day. We will discuss the ultimate cosmic scam, the fall from Eden by thinking we can know what God does not know. Listen as we discuss the ramifications of knowing what God does not know, which is sin, sickness, and death. The resurrection is the experience of awaking back into the good divine graces. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join our Kriya Yoga spiritual advance. Get the light in your soul and rise above the cosmic scam. So Swami, I thought what I would do is talk a little bit about Easter, and this information I picked up right out of the Wynn Calendar website. So some Easter history they have listed as stating, Easter commemorates Jesus' resurrection 3 days after his crucifixion and death. Following his death, he was removed from the cross and hastily buried in a tomb. On Sunday, it was discovered that Jesus' tomb was empty, and angels informed onlookers that Jesus has risen. So throughout the next 40 days, Jesus appears to his apostles and disciples before finally ascending to heaven. Easter is the highest and holiest of holidays in the Christian faith. Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday following the first full moon, after the spring equinox, usually occurring between March 22nd and April 25th. So it does seem like it's a little early this year because of the full moon that we just had. So what I'd like to talk to you about is what is in our summary when we listed. We were going to talk about thinking we can know what God does not know. Can you expound upon that for us?
Yeah, I think the whole thing of don't get fooled again. The concept of April Fool's Day that we had yesterday and the combination of Easter, which was also yesterday, Easter Sunday. I always think of the fall from Eden in the Bible, the story where the concept of the talking snake convinces Eve into eating from the forbidden tree. And what does that all symbolize, and what does it all mean? Break down, because the temptation that the snake kind of presents with Eve is that if she eats from this particular tree, she's going to know what God doesn't know, which in reality, that's exactly what happens. After eating from the tree of knowledge and the tree of good and evil, they're banished from Eden. They're banished from, I would say, the unified state. They're banished from unity, consciousness, and now they're in the realms of duality. And duality is that level of consciousness where things are basically in half. And that is how the lower mind, human mind, works. Whereas divine mind works primarily on unity consciousness. So they don't really overlap. They don't really connect at all. Like, we do not see spirit. Spirit does not report duality. And so the concept of sin, sickness, suffering, and death is not something that is known to God Because when you read Genesis 1, what God creates is good. And it's absolute goodness. And that's all God knows is goodness. And that's where this whole concept of belief and human thought comes in, because these things of sin, sickness, and death really are not what was referred to as truth. Truth being an understanding that the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine, which means that the human is spirit, not matter, not physical, but spiritual. But because of this fall from Eden, because of this simple fact that we explored the workings of the lower mind, that we ushered in this concept of sin. And we are basically, we are the ones that support that. We are the ones that maintain that by believing in it. It is our belief in sin, sickness, suffering, and death that actually makes it seem real to us. But because it's not backed by truth, because it was not created by divine law, it is not backed by principle, it's not real. It's a false sense of existence. And so the whole concept of Easter, this thing of the resurrection of the body, overcoming the fall from Eden in the Bible, overcoming sin, sickness, suffering, and death, is a triumph. And it is experienced by awakening in human consciousness the simple fact that we are made in divine likeness, that we are eternal spiritual beings. We're not a body that has a mind and perchance a soul. And that's what I think makes this holiday just like so fabulous, is because of the promise of raising consciousness to this level of understanding.
Now, so is that what you mean when we have in the summary we had written, the resurrection is the experience of awaking back into the good divine graces?
Right, exactly. Because of the original sin, we're not born with this inhuman consciousness. That's the whole thing of the Christ in Christianity. That is the awakening of divine love in human consciousness. And the reason for this is that the Christ becomes like an interpreter. The lower mind, which is what we pretty much come in regulating everything with, only works on duality. It can only report the testimony of our senses. And so the concept of spirit is unknown to the lower mind. And the Christ is kind of like this adapter that now makes the availability of spiritual understanding available to human consciousness. And when we do that, then we awaken in a true sense of existence. We move from that false sense of existence where we believe that we are a physical body, that we are provisional, that we are going to suffer and we're going to get sick and we're going to die. And then we awaken into this new understanding that we're eternal. We always were. We always will be. And so life does not begin with conception. And it certainly doesn't begin with this physical birth, because we're eternal spiritual beings. That level of understanding becomes a platform that when employed is a practical guide for highly effective living because it gives you a level of understanding that enables you to cope with a lot of the things that most of us are struggling with.
One of the facts that I picked up on Wind Calendar about Easter Sunday was they said that for many Christian congregations, the first Easter service for the year is called the Service of Light. The worship typically starts in darkness on the preceding Saturday night or early Sunday morning, and so light is brought into the church with candles to signify hope based on the resurrection. So I got to thinking about overcoming darkness to the lightness. So maybe us overcoming our mortal mind, our mortal way of thinking, into the immortal way of thinking, that being darkness to light.
Oh, absolutely. That's a well-used metaphor. And I think the thing that's really important to understand is that the only power is the light, that the darkness is not another opposing force. Say, for example, when you come into a room and you hit the switch on the wall and you turn on the light fills the room. Now, when you leave the room and you turn off the switch, there isn't an opposing force. There isn't a black mist that comes in and fills the room. It's just the light went out. And so with regard to understanding ourselves spiritually, it's really helpful to understand that the concept of God or good is the only force in the universe. That evil was just anything that wasn't recognized as good. And then what perpetuates it is our belief that it exists. It is our belief in sin. It is our belief in sickness. It is our belief in suffering that actually creates it. And so a big part of this holiday, this Easter, is rising above those limiting false beliefs and awakening into the light of eternal understanding.
So, Swami, it seems that the ultimate cosmic April Fool is that matter is the foundation of life.
Right. That's how the whole thing starts to fall apart. And it's our belief in that. And another way that it kind of doesn't work for us is the belief that there's a combination of matter and spirit. That kind of like that thinking that we're a physical body, and when we die, we will become an eternal spiritual being. That doesn't work either. Because consciousness, when consciousness is the foundation of life, consciousness is an indestructible principle that is often called spirit, God, or good. And when we understand life from this perspective, that is what changes who we are.
Well, I think this is probably a good place to pause so we can hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Kriya Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted.
Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, earlier in the program, you were talking about the fall from Eden. Well, it sounds to me that the fall from Eden is an example of being fooled.
Well, it sure is, and it's the ultimate cosmic April fool, I think. And the thing about it is that you're kind of tricked into thinking that you're going to improve things, that you're going to make your life better than God itself. And then all of a sudden that you find that you're moved out of the kingdom of heaven and into the realms of sin, sickness, suffering, death, and decay. And to me, that's a huge demotion. Now, the thing about that is that's the original one. That's what happened to Adam and Eve, because they start out and they're in the kingdom of heaven. They are in perfect harmony with divine law. And somehow they get this idea that they could be better. Things can be better than perfect. And so they get fooled. Now we, however, we come in with what was called the original sin. And so that means that we come in and we draw from those other trees. We're attracted to particles and waves. We're attracted to matter and mind. And for us, we have to be taught how to separate from our attachment to duality, the testimony of our senses. And then we have to join with this tree of life, with this indivisible unified state. And that's a pretty tricky catch, because first of all the forces are stacked against us. You know, with the collective consensus today, we have a really strong belief that matter is the origins of life. And in fact, that's 180 degrees from where it is. Now, fortunately, we're getting new information from quantum physics and the whole world of physics that is starting to say that maybe things originate in consciousness, which is closer to what I would think to be the truth. And if you can start to identify with this part of yourself that is invisible and intangible, as opposed to the things that are verifiable through our senses, it almost seems foreign. It seems crazy. The advanced consciousness of life as holy spiritual can restore what we observe to be physical life, to be healed by the consciousness of perfect love that gives life, completely restores perfect health, and it lasts. Now, that's not something we're accustomed to enlisting or employing with our Western socialization and with the beliefs that we have come in with that are really kind of shaped by our empirical sciences.
I was going to ask you how we can use all of this information surrounding Easter, how we use it for our own healing, spiritual healing, or even physical healing.
Well, again, it's very hard, I think, sometimes to be just specific, to just try and go about something and I want a healing. Because how we got there, there are a lot of mental conditions that are in place that are causing this abnormal condition to begin with. And so to try and unbox that and attack it. And then the other thing is that there are so many different approaches to this concept of healing. There are material means. You can go to a Western medical doctor. You can go to a chiropractor. You can go to a massage therapist. You can try diet, supplements. There are all of these material means that you can work through. There are all of these mental mediums that you can work with. Positive thinking, hypnosis, Reiki. There's all of this stuff, energy work, that is available to us. But this concept of healing spiritually, to heal spiritually is a process. This whole thing that we talk about, apotheosis. And the origins of the word heal means to be whole. And it really requires this union of the individual with the divine. It is divine law. It is divine love that produces the desired state. It is the causal spiritual body that holds the template for perfect creation. So if you want a complete God-crowned healing, then the best thing, you know, to start with is to really start to understand that in order to achieve that, it must be done spiritually. And in order to do it spiritually, we have to abandon our material and our mental means. And then by turning over, you know, this thing called faith, belief in truth, completely over to the sustaining infinite, are we able to affect the desired condition of perfect health?
So Swami, in Corinthians 1:3-19, it states, "The wisdom of the world is foolishness with God." What is your take on that?
Well, again, you know, you got to look at the term, like what do they mean by wisdom? And, you know, for a lot of us, we think that a lot of our wisdom comes from the scientific community. And the scientific community kind of supports the thing that life is in and of matter, or that matter and spirit coexist. And so this concept that wisdom of the world is foolish with God means that maybe there is another octave of wisdom, which would be spiritual wisdom. And is it possible that there is a wisdom that some have discovered that overcomes sin, sickness, suffering, and death? And I think that's a big part of what the Christian myth is all about. It's about demonstrating our ability to overcome this abnormal condition.
So earlier you had talked about knowing what God doesn't know. Now, I had always thought that, well, God knows everything. He knows everything that's going on in our lives and with us, and we were to trust that. So now you're saying that God doesn't know everything that's going on with us. So just wondering if we could just get some clarification on that.
Yeah. So say, for example, I mean, the way we go about things kind of implies that we don't understand how things work spiritually. Because say, for example, that if this concept of prayer, a lot of us will pray for the sick. And in fact, the Bible has very specific instruction for Christians to heal the sick. And there's really no instruction in the Bible that says pray for the sick. And a lot of us do that. We audibly pray for and we kind of plea for these more desired conditions for either ourselves or others. And from that perspective, there's an assumption that God knows what it is that is going on. And if God knows it, then God can fix it. And then, of course, if your prayers aren't answered, then we have some sort of excuse that we put in, you know, why it didn't work. And for most of us, we really, when we pray, we really don't get the desired result. We're not really healing people. And so we're not questioning why isn't it working. And one of the main reasons is because we have to start to understand how spiritual law works. Because God does not know what God does not create. And God is purely absolute goodness. There is no discord in divine law. And that is pure goodness. And from a human perspective, we try and understand goodness from a dualistic level of understanding, which is a mix of good and evil. But it doesn't come close to this whole thing of pure goodness. Now, the reason why our prayers are ineffectual is because, first of all, we're trying to talk to God in a language that God doesn't even speak. God does not know about these conditions. And audible prayer does not do the work of spiritual understanding. So a big part of learning how to pray isn't really talking to God as much as it is thinking of God. And then the other thing is creating this relationship with the divine. And in order for us to even begin to do that, we have to start to understand ourselves in the way that God understands us, which is as eternal spiritual beings. Now, once we start to understand ourselves as an eternal spiritual being, in order to get God's attention, to recognize us, we then have to start to demonstrate the qualities of divine law, of divine nature, which means that we must have to start to display goodness, pure goodness, peace, love, happiness, harmony. And in that relationship, then what we start to do is we start to get backed by truth. We start to get backed by the power of divine law. And in the framework of true healing, what really happens is that we raise the level of consciousness of whoever it is that's in this undesired condition, because nothing really has to be changed because all is created by God. And the things that are created by God are perfect, whole, harmonious, peaceful, and well.
Well, I think it's about the time we had to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, I invite you out there to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. And so once you're there, you can make posts about this show or comments to us about any other shows you'd like us to do for you. But keep those comments and questions and curiosities coming, because we do enjoy hearing from you. Be sure to tune in next week. We're going to talk about Divine Mercy Sunday. And also be sure to listen to our Facebook Live episodes that we do Wednesdays at 5 o'clock. So, Swami, do you have any other final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I hope everybody had a very happy Easter yesterday and was successful in ushering in the light of eternal love into their field of awareness, and they weren't fooled by the testimony of their senses. And with that, I'll wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
And thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda, signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.